Welcome to Women's Wellness Podcast with Lucy Catino and Nahal Horn, where we are tackling mommy stress one wellness practice at a time. This is a podcast for mothers seeking to rebrand ourselves while incorporating our gifts and talents in our new professional identities. We provide our listeners with wellness and coping strategies as we navigate our daily lives. Together, we will elevate with a holistic, healing, and empowering approach to catching our bliss. We have a very special guest today, Bella Montero, where she will be sharing her journey and how she was able to rewrite her story, break free from her own mental chains, and thrive. Bella Montero is a Cabo Verdeana from Angola who has published her very first book entitled, Who Am I? A story about molestation, domestic violence, motherhood, and learning to love herself through it all. Welcome, Bella. We are so excited to have you join us today. How are you feeling?
I am okay. Thank you, Lucy, and Nahal, to give me this opportunity to be here with you guys today. I'm okay. I am in the East Coast, so it's kind of chilly here. Yeah,
I know. It's that time of year, right? So we do appreciate you coming on and especially sharing just the journey around this profound book that you published. I had the pleasure of reading it. And wow, our listeners, you are in for a ride. I cannot wait for you to, you know, talk to us about, you know, just how it all started and how it's been going and where you are now. So thank you. Thank you for being here. So let me just dive right in with my first question. Why did you feel it was important to write such a vulnerable and transparent book, such as Who Am I? And that's the title of the book. It's almost like a question. Is it a question of your own identity, or is it sharing with us what, how you were able to even discover who that woman is?
What I can say is that the title is based on my own life experience. However, what I can also say is that reason that I picked that title is that there's a lot of us out there that's still struggling, trying to find their own identity based on the experience that I had gone through, you know, in life. What kind of really made me want to tell my story is, I would say, why not? The reason I say why not is because each one of us has our own journey in life, which we experience, but we don't know how to talk about it. Or if we choose to talk about it, we always had that someone out there that's, you know, that always tells us to hush, you know, you should not disclose certain things, which makes us more of being insecure with our own self. So I decided to, you know, instead of talking about others, why not put my story out there and where the readers can basically relate to it, and it gives them a chance to open up. It gives them a chance to find a way they can overcome their life struggle or, you know, their childhood or adulthood trauma.
That's right. And I do agree with that. The whole, the hush, don't, you know, don't share that part of who you are creates an internal shame that it's not protecting anyone. And I'm glad that you said that, because that is so spot on. And it's important for us to share who we are, because that is part of who we are. And that's part of healing. And that's part of understanding who we are and why we, you know, correcting almost like what is it that I've done in the past and why? What is it that I need to learn? What is it about me that needs to heal in this way? So the only way to really get to that is to understand, and not hushing about it and not talking about it is not helping us, right? So thank you for that.
what I can
Thank
say
you.
about it as well, that even, you know, at the stage that we are in now, it takes a lot of courage. It does for you to actually be all open with your own self to others. There are some of us that, you know, that we go through lifetime keeping all our life experience, all struggle in, because we don't know how to go about it. So, you know, it's just a matter of trying to find a way to see how we can heal to go forward with our life.
Yeah, so we can move on, right? That's very true. Thank you for that. Amazing. Thank you. Now I'll go on to our
Yes.
second
Can you hear me?
question.
Yeah. Yes. I was going to say,
Yes, I can
listening
hear
to you
you.
and just hearing your story, I have to say, you are one of the bravest people I know. It's just so brave to come out and just explicitly say what happened to you. And I know for a lot of people that might be triggering. So for those people who might have felt like your experiences triggered their own, how would you respond to that? Well, what I can say, you know, everybody's situations are different. Example, like with my situation, I have found a way to deal with it. So what might work for me might not work for others. But it will start off as first, you have to acknowledge that it did happen. Whatever had happened, it did happen. You have to acknowledge it. You have to accept it. Because if you don't accept it and you're confused, how are you able to find a way to cope with it? I'm a high believer of, you know, counseling. I'm a high believer of meditation and exercise. You have to find what actually would work for you. For me myself, you know, I went to counsel and I was in and out. I did individual, I did group therapy. I exercised constantly. But I came to find myself until I was able to put my feelings in writing. And in the beginning, putting it in writing, I would rip it off, throw it away. Write it again, cry it over, rip it off and throw it away, because I was afraid that other people was going to be able to find it and read it and find out about it. So I would say, you know, accept that it has happened. Find a way that it would be able to help you overcome it. If one way doesn't work, try a different option that would be able to work. Sometimes you might not be able to overcome it right away. It might take time, but it's okay, because within time, we can heal.
Wow. Chills. I'm just like I keep getting all, as you're speaking, I literally am getting chills throughout my body because it's very satisfying to hear you say all these things, and it also brings up so much for me personally as well. So, yeah,
Yeah. I
amazing.
mean,
Thank
the
you for
thing is,
that.
we all different. Like I said before, what would work for me might not work for you, and what might work for you might not work for me. I mean, I had a colleagues that literally we went to group session, and that worked for her because she was able to listen to, you know, different scenarios, different, you know, issues, and see how they were able to cope with it. And that helped her. You know, for me, it was great to listen to all that experience. But once I come back home, I'm still stuck with my struggle. I'm okay at that moment that I'm there. But
Yeah.
then what happens when I'm home? You know, it's like reliving it all over again.
Yeah. So you have to find a
Right.
way, your own personal way. Yeah, I do agree with that. Beautiful. Thank you. So that brings me to this. So in reading the book, right, I do want you to briefly talk about your childhood in Cabo Verde, because there's this page 24 through 27 in the book left me in tears. And that was, I mean, so many things were triggering for me, but this one in particular, as a mother of girls, I wanted so much to go and save that little girl in this book that I'm reading about. And I do, if you don't mind, want to share a paragraph that I read that had me crying, literally in tears. It starts by saying, "It was dark and felt deep, like a cave where I was trapped. When I went inside, no way out. Sometimes Alice and I took turns in the same room, in the same bed with John Doe. He said, 'It's okay, only touch it a little, or let me just rub it around.' I did not put it in my mouth, but it felt uncomfortable. It felt wrong to touch it, to be made to touch it. I was screaming inside, hoping someone would walk in to save me. Save us. No one came to help, and Alice and I would just keep our mouths shut and go through with it and hope for it to end soon. The sooner the better, but why did it seem like forever? Alice looked at me, I looked at her, and we said nothing to each other. We didn't need to. We felt each other's pain. How could we remove ourselves from the situation? We couldn't. We were trapped." Now that was, I mean, what can you say to that, right?
What can I say to that? It happened. We were young. We didn't know any better.
Mm-hmm.
Would I wish that it didn't happen? Yes, I would wish that that never happened, but it did. Unfortunately, Alice and I was not the only one in the neighborhood that was going through the same experience. Mm-hmm. You know, and my situation was that, you know, I wished, you know, although I was there with my older siblings, but it wasn't all the time my siblings was around. Especially in the neighborhood that everybody trusted each other, you know, especially if your siblings are running errands and you tell your neighbor, "Oh, can you look after her? They say, "Sure," because everybody trusted that specific individual. And it happened. I mean, it's sad, and you just reading it kind of makes me like experience it all over again. And trust me, it was not easy to write mm-hmm. that chapter, but I needed to write it. I needed to write it to help me myself as a victim that had gone through it, but also help me as a mother to my 12 years old. So I would know, being there, mm-hmm. I would have a better idea how I would be able to guide her if she was in that situation. You know,
exactly. And I felt that, and that's exactly what I felt, because as a mom, I wanted to go save you. You know what I mean? So it's very important to even have conversations like this with our daughters, with our sons even, because it happens to little boys as well.
And, you know, a situation like this is not just in Cape Verde. It's happening everywhere, including here in the United States. And mm-hmm. it's, you know, it's kind of sad, because not too long ago, I had someone that had approached me that I knew since I came here to this country. Someone that approached me and, you know, basically was telling me the similar thing happened to her inside of her own home. So it's not just in Cape Verde, it's not just me, but I think it is something that we as a parent or as a sibling or as a human being, it's something that we should be feel comfortable to build a foundation with our kids, pick their mind where they trust us enough to basically tell us if something is going on with her, with them. Example, with my daughter, since she started talking, you know, I always, you know, talk to her. I said, you know, if, you know, has anybody touched you? If anybody touched you inappropriate, are you going to tell mommy? You know, I try to build a foundation with her where she's comfortable to tell me something, you know, if something went wrong with her or something is going on with her. And it's unfortunately that, you know, I don't want to just point out culture, but some of us is that, you know, we could have a parent that doesn't know how to communicate with their kids because either, you know, they're too traditional, mm-hmm. or maybe even with them themselves, they had never built that relationship to know, you know, how to build a trusting relationship with their kids where they feel open to talk about situations like that. And example, like what happened with me, I didn't feel comfortable to come home to tell my siblings of what was going on. Or whenever my parents called from United States to check on us, to express to them what was going on. It came to the point that I thought it was normal because it wasn't just happening to me. It was also happening to others. And if one of them did open their mouth, they would get in trouble, or they are told by the family member to hush. So when you are being placed mm-hmm. in that position, would you want to say anything else? No, you will not. You're just going to keep your mouth shut.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing, too. And I'm glad you did mention that. Just building the foundation with your daughter, building that relationship, being really transparent and open with her. That these things do occur, unfortunately. And the people closest to you that you think you can trust may not necessarily be the people that you can trust. So I do feel like as a parent, it is our responsibility to guide our children. And you did bring mm-hmm. up another great point too, with tradition. Again, with the whole hush, don't talk about it thing, because it's embarrassing. It puts shame to the family name. Whatever the excuse may be, that is not okay. Because then it victimizes right. the victim all over again. Mm-hmm. It continues to victimize the victim. And that's the cycle that we have to break. And we break it by talking about yep. it, by being transparent about it. It's yeah. a real issue. It's a real issue. So thank you for your being so brave in helping all of us dismantle this huge issue. I did, and I did want to read that because I wanted everyone to feel it the way that I felt it and how important it is for us to finally face this thing, this yeah. elephant in the room, if you will, you know? So yeah, absolutely. You also in your adulthood experienced a very abusive relationship while you were in high school. I read that also, where you had a boyfriend in your life that you know, you lived with. And so talk about that experience. Did it feel like you were kind of reliving your childhood all over again through this relationship?
I would say yes, but then again, no. The reason that I say that is that, you know, when I was much older, but not too old, because obviously, you know, I'm in high school. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But then again, you know, I'm going through this teenage year, which, you know, your hormones, you know, your life is changing. And especially being, you know, living mm-hmm. with a senior parents, you know, who also is very traditional, that doesn't, you know, who, you know, they tried the best they could with me. But I think that when it came to that point, I was too far off where I felt that, you know, it's time for me to make my own decision. Basically, you know, while I was getting that attention from that one man from the high school, you know, I felt special that, you know, kind of put me in the position of making my own decision to move in with this guy. you know, at age 16. You know, 16 is still considered as a child, but then again, it's older than, you know, being 9 through 11 years old. You know, the way that I kind of, you know, look at it now, I was young. You know, the guy was way older than I was. Blindly in love, first love, you know, which, you know, we all go through this stage. You know, we all go through that stage.
Yes, we do.
Now, would it be a relationship that I would, you know, that I would recommend or suggest anybody to be in? No. But what I can say, though, you know, although it was a tough relationship, I did learn a lot from it, because being able to face that obstacle kind of like made me the person who I am today, as being more independent, being more, you know, more mature, knowing, you know, what's right, what's wrong, and knowing, understand what I will not want my kids to get into.
Right, because he, and I just want to say, so that we're clear and everybody knows, that you were physically abused and emotionally abused by this man.
Yes,
that you were in a relationship with. Yes,
physically, mentally, I would say everything you can pretty much put on the book when it comes to a toxic relationship.
Right.
And, you know, at that time, I didn't know any better, because, you know, that's all that I knew when it comes to, you know, to have a real relationship, basically. So, it was eye-opening for me. You know, now, let's just say if I didn't experience that, would I be in the relationship that I am today? I don't know. But, you know, I would say that did woke me up. And it's not a relationship that I would want anybody to go through. And even right now, there's still a lot of women that's going through the same situation.
Yeah, and adult women too. You're right. You're right. That is very, very true. And that's another thing too, where that's something else we don't really talk about enough. There's a lot of, and there's also a lot of different types of abusive relationships. And I've been in one. It wasn't a physically abusive relationship. However, it was very emotionally abusive relationship, and I didn't know I was in one until I left the situation, right? So it took me a while to even figure out that I was in an abusive relationship. So even being able to identify what that is very important too, because I'm sure there are a lot of people in situations that don't even
realize. I have a question regarding that too. Can you guys hear me? Okay, sorry.
Yeah, we can hear.
I kept kicking you out for some reason.
Yes.
But my question would be, so how after all of this trauma, how were you able to cultivate self-love for yourself? And how would you explain that to us, and why is it important?
I would say that it was hard. Mm-hmm. It took a long time. It took a long time, because I'll say that after I got out of that relationship, I didn't know at first, I would say the first month getting out of the relationship, I didn't know how to be alone without him. That, you know, I was finding myself trying to convince myself or convince him that I was the one that was doing all wrong, that I need to change myself to the person that he wanted me to be so I can get back with him. So it took a while. After, you know, although I was going through that in denial of what was going on, finally came to realize that it was not going to happen. I think, you know, part of my book, it does explain that, you know, I had to travel 12 hours away for me to kind of get out of that environment, for me to, you know, just completely get out of that environment. Now, although I was 12 hours away, it was helping, you know, basically distracting myself, you know, finding new friends, finding other things to do, keep myself occupied. But for some reason, he was still coming back to me, you know, based mm-hmm. on, you know, people that you talk to, you know, they give you news about it, or they talk about him. So it was kind of hard. So the only way that I had to deal with it, I had to come back to East Coast and face it, you know.
As opposed to running, you're saying, as
instead of, you know, running away from problems, right. You actually have to come back and face it,
mm-hmm.
and face it in front of you, mm-hmm. and me being able to face it, and also going back to distracting myself, trying to occupy myself, and, you know, trying to, you know, go to school, find activities that I like to do, you know, surround myself with different type of group of people. And eventually it took, you know, it took over 2 years for me to get to, you know, to get over it. But I did. But although for it to help me get over the relationship doesn't mean that mentally I was healed. You know, mm-hmm. because, oh, you know, finally, when I had decided that I wanted to date again, I still had that wall built that kind of, mm-hmm. you know, kind of prevent me from giving myself to the next person 100%. So it was, mm-hmm. it was kind of tough, but then I had to learn that, you know, I have to focus on myself. I don't have to date. I don't have to be with anyone for me to be able to, you know, focus on myself, clear my head, being able to find a way to kind of love myself before I am able to, you know, find love with someone else.
Well, and that's the depth of it. Fall in love with yourself first. That's pretty much the answer, right? That takes us probably, it took me the longest time to figure that out too. Absolutely. So that's beautiful. Now tell us about your relationship with your daughter, your teenage daughter.
Oh my God.
What do you tell her now? Like, what do you tell her about mom?
We have the best relationship that I would consider anyone would want to have with their child. The reason that I'm saying that is because I myself never had that relationship with my mother, my biological mother. Although I'm fortunate enough that mm-hmm. my father's wife, you know, was able to raise me, but we never had that mother and daughter bonding relationship, you know. And with my daughter, I do have that, you know, I did struggle in the beginning with her, obviously, because I did suffer from postpartum depression when I had her. But then when mm-hmm. I came to realize that I'm actually a mother to her, it just kind of changed my life, because anybody can be a father or a mother, but it takes a lot to be a parent to your child. Mm. And all the experience that I missed, you know, the regular conversation, did you do your homework? Yes, I have. Can I see it? Do you understand it? What part did mm-hmm. you not understand? Or let's have a girls' night, movie night, or, you know, one of our favorite things to do is bicycle riding on the weekend when it's, you know, when it's nice out. traveling together, being able to learn a new culture, new environment together. I would say it's the best experience anyone could have, the relationship that we have.
I love that. I love that so much. Thank you for sharing. So we're going to wrap it up with our last question. So you were able to heal from your last relationship, past relationship, find true love, and you look so amazing doing it. What has been your biggest lesson learned from all of this? And what message do you want to leave to our women listeners and to our men as well?
Wow, that's a really, really good question, because I feel that every obstacle that I had faced in my life has been a lesson for me. One of them that I can say is what we just talked about, being able to be a parent to your child, being able to build a relationship or a foundation with your child where they're comfortable enough to tell you what's going on with them. Because sometimes as a parents, we can try to do all we can, but in the end of the day, they make their own decision of who they want to be one day. And without going through what I went through, I would say I would not be here today in this position that I am, because it made me a better person. It made me stronger, where I can pretty much visualize how I want my future, instead of just living day to day and wonder, what if? What I can say to any women or men has gone through similar experience or going through it now, do not give up. Think positive. There's a way out. Find a way to get out. And don't look at it as a step back, but look at it as a life lesson where you can grow from it to make you a better person, and where you can guide others to find healing with themselves.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Beautiful. Wow, Bella, what can I say? You are a superhero. Thank you. And we appreciate you so much. Thank you for coming on, and thank you for sharing this. And for those who are listening, if you don't have a copy of this book yet, I highly recommend you will get a lot from it. It's entitled Who Am I? That's ? Available on Amazon, right? Where else can we find it? And please do share where we can find you too on our social media platforms.
The book is actually on Amazon. If you would like a signed copy, feel free to find me on Facebook, Bella, under Bella Montero, just the way it's spelled, with one L, Bella Montero. And I am also on LinkedIn as Bella Montero, Instagram, and also Twitter. That's right,
to find her there. And to my listeners, thank you so much for being here. We will be back every month, first Thursday of each month. We will be releasing an episode. This one has been amazing. Thank you all for listening, and take care, and send you all so much love. And please do check us out on our Instagram page, luce.inspiration.